present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the fine city of Chichester at the Festival Theatre. Archaeological research has established that this area was the first part of Britain to be occupied by the various subspecies of early man, and there's evidence that Neanderthals mated with humans. It's called Portsmouth. Under the Plantagenet King John, the city came under the control of Richard Hume, the first Bishop of Chichester, who was responsible for collecting the king's taxes. Hume became notorious for his womanizing and debauchery, and when he failed to pass taxes on, King John ordered his bishopric be removed. A noted early member of Parliament for Chichester was William Huskisson. He found his place in history on the 15th of September 1830, when he became the first person in the world to be run over by a train. An avid promoter of steam railway, Huskisson's last words were that he felt chuffed to bits. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and David Mitchell. And settling down on my left hand, please welcome our delightful scorer, the ever-lovely Samantha. OK, teams, let's get on with this. The first round is called Undelivered Letters. And down the annals of history, there must be thousands of letters which never got delivered for one reason or another. Possibly they were addressed badly or didn't have the right value stamps, or perhaps someone made the simple mistake of sending them via Royal Mail. So I'd like the teams to suggest the contents of letters which went astray, but which otherwise might have changed the course of history. So, Barry, you can start.
Dear Mr. Bin Laden, your new address labels are ready for collection.
David?
This is one to Hitler. Dear Herr Hitler, sorry for taking a while to get back to you. Think your paintings are extremely promising. Do hope you haven't embarked on another career.
Graham?
This one to Moses. Dear Moses, I'm writing to seek compensation for the damage done by your unruly children of Israel. Last Saturday night, they caused a great nuisance, marching around the town about seven times, playing trumpets and I don't know what. To cap it all, they did severe damage to our ice cream parlour, yours truly, Walls of Jericho.
Tim.
Dear Prince Albert, your handwriting is terrible, but we recommend putting vodka in the water if you want to get your pianist pissed.
This one's from Marie Antoinette. Dear starving Parisians, I'm so sorry for my insensitive remarks. I had no idea that you didn't have any cake either. One last suggestion, cornflakes?
There's one here from William Caxton to the editor of The Guardian. He writes, Dear Sid, you may be interested to lean that I've regently invested the Prontingpriz. This infection will greatly improve the prediction of your Nespiper. All inquiries to me, Wilmar Katzstoff, solutions for all your Pronting Neds.
Well, it's music time now, with the game called One Song to the Tune of Another. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. By the way, we have to apologise to anyone who thought they'd got tickets for Colin's last concert. It turns out it wasn't. I'll start with you, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Milkshake by Khalees. to the tune of "How much is that doggy in the window?"
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, "It's better than yours. Damn right it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge. I know you want it, the thing that makes me woof woof, what the guys go crazy for. I think it's time, warm it up, la la la. La la la, the boys are waiting. Woof woof."
Thank you, Tim. I think it was the passion that made that so moving. So you now, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of "Anarchy in the UK" to the tune of "Singing in the Rain."
I am an antichrist. I am an anarchist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy the passerby, 'cause I want to be anarchy. No dogs for thee. Anarchy for the UK. It's coming sometime, and maybe I give a wrong time. Stop a traffic line. Your future dream is a shopping scheme, 'cause I wanna be anarchy.
So now it's your turn, David. Can you sing the words of "A Whiter Shade of Pale" to the tune of the theme from The Muppet Show?
Okay. We skip the light fandango, turn cartwheels, cross the floor. Was feeling kinda seasick, but the crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling flew away. When we called out for another drink, the waiter brought a tray. And so it was that later, as the miller told his tale, that her face at first just ghostly turned a whiter shade of pale. She said, "There is no reason, the truth is plain to see. I wandered through my playing cards and they would not let her be one of 16 Vestal Virgins who were leaving for the coast. And although my eyes were open wide, they might have just as well been closed."
I miss Jeremy.
Finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of "I'm Too Sexy" by Right Said Fred to the tune of the chorus of "The Hebrew Slaves."
I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me. I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts, and I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan. And I'm too sexy for your party, too sexy for your party. No way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know what I mean.
Remember, those aren't available in the shops. The next game is called "Who Am I?" And Samantha will now attach a post-it note to each panelist's forehead. And I've written on each post-it note the name of a certain famous person. All attached. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Samantha. Okay, teams, it's time to play Who Am I? Each of you can ask up to a maximum of 20 yes-no type questions to find out who you are. Okay, so you can start, Tim.
Okay, is my character female?
No idea.
That's one question you've had now, Tim. One question.
Am I Henry VIII?
Absolutely correct. Well done, Tim. Right, your go, David. Start questioning your opponents.
Is my character male?
No, I don't know.
That's your first question gone, David.
Okay, am I Gordon Brown?
Yes, well done, David. This is going very well. Your turn, Barry.
Is my character British?
No, not definite.
It's one question you've had, Barry.
I'm Florence Nightingale, aren't I?
Indeed you are. Very good. Yeah. Finally, Graham.
Is my character still alive?
Well, alive now.
Oh, right.
That's your first question gone, Graham.
Yeah, I got it. I'm Peter Andre.
Absolutely correct. Well, I think that went very well indeed. I think perhaps next time we'll try the other version with the names written on the outside. This next round is concerned with visits to the doctor. We all go for regular checkups these days. But a recent survey discovered that over 60% of hospital consultations are completely unnecessary. I must mention that to my gynecologist. Health scares are all the rage at the moment, with a massive range of types of flu to choose from. There's swine flu that came from Mexican pigs, and avian flu that came from French mineral water. And now there's boiler flu that makes you faint when you get the bill from your heating engineer. Okay, well, we'll start with you, Tim and David. You're suffering from an unusual medical complaint and have just been called for your appointment with doctors Barry and Graham. You must outline your symptoms to them, and they will be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. So the identity of your complaint is now being displayed to the audience via the plasma display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice. Okay.
Tim and David think their father Christmas. Tim and David think their father Christmas.
Right, Tim and David, start outlining your symptoms now.
There are a lot of things wrong. I suppose if I'd had to sum it up, I'd say back problems.
Yeah, back problems. Yeah, it's a lot to do at this time of the year, isn't it?
My work is affecting my health.
I'm worried about getting the sack, to be honest.
Has this got a Christmas connotation?
Well, you could say that. Yeah.
Well, you know, in many ways it's over by Christmas, but it's you know, it seems to start earlier every year. Right?
Do you have to travel much in your job?
We do. We do have to travel quite a bit. Would you like to sit on my knee?
Yeah, we might.
Have you been a good boy? Oh, well, yes, you have. Yes, I can see.
Yes.
Okay, time's up.
Yeah. Your problem is that your father Christmas.
Well done. Well, it's okay. Your turn to be the patients, Barry and Graham, and you've just been summoned into the surgery of Dr. David and Dr. Tim, and the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience. Well, here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham are a man with two heads. Barry and Graham are a man with two heads.
Off you go, Barry and Graham.
Hello, welcome. Does this hurt?
Well, to be honest, I was in two minds about coming here today.
Me too.
Yeah.
I keep feeling I'm being watched.
Yeah, I'm tired all the time. I nodded off this morning twice.
Now, this morning I was smoking my pipe while I was doing my teeth. And I thought, this is no way to live.
Well, no way to live. Don't panic. Let's all put our heads together and discuss it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you find yourself indecisive in pressure situations?
Well, it depends which way you look at it.
Would you say were you happy or sad?
Well, my wife says I'm two-faced, but I mean, it's costing me a fortune in hats.
Some days I just think I'm talking to myself, yeah. You know.
I think basically, have you just got two heads?
Just split personality.
Well done, that's a relief to both of us. The next game is about programme titles. Coming up with a clever title is often the key to a show's success. Take Radio 4's Thinking Aloud, for example. Until I saw it written down, I didn't realise that aloud was spelt as in allowed rather than allowed. So Thinking Aloud actually means thinking aloud, proof, as if it were needed, of the brilliance of a punning radio title. Okay, I'd like the teams to take the part of continuity announcers trailing radio or TV programmes which have been chosen purely on the basis of a catchy title. Barry, you can start.
Later on Radio 4 today, Dale Winton goes to visit the Yorkshire Dales. Or does he? Dale or no Dale?
David?
Later on ITV2, David and Victoria Beckham discuss how their marriage has survived both the good times and the bad. That's Thick and Thin, How We Got Through It.
Graham. After the news, we join Anthony McPartlin before he puts his trousers on in the morning. That's Ants in His Pants.
Tim.
And the programme later in the week, our celebrity would-be fish wrestling referee handles his first match tonight in Between a Rock, Salmon and a Hard Place. I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
Later on Channel 4, leading plastic surgeon Simon Wallace discusses recent advances in breast augmentation following successful grafting procedures involving skin taken from the lower buttock. That's arse over tit.
Tonight sees the first episode of our new drama series, set in the emergency room of a busy cottage hospital in Devon. At 9 o'clock, tune in to Ooh R.
Coming up on Radio 4 Longwave, former umpire Dickie Bird starts an in-depth four-part analysis of bowling actions over the past half century, investigating the decline of the full toss or beamer in English cricket. That's Dickie Bird in Nobody Gives a Toss later this evening.
In the last programme in our pottery season, we'll be showing you how to finish the outsides of plates or bowls in A Guide to Rimming.
Tonight's documentary tells the strange story of Sigmund Freud and his time as a market gardener. 1912, Vienna saw the father of psychiatry tending his greenhouse at the world-famous cafe run, surprisingly, by a family of weasels. 9 o'clock tonight, you can hear all about Freud-grown tomatoes at the Weasels' top cafe.
This week's Archive Hour provides another chance to see gardening legend Percy Thrower reveal his extensive collection of fine bone china, much of which he's been able to identify blindfolded. That's Point Percy at the Pearl Saloon. This one.
Elderly relatives get a sexy makeover in Grand Designs.
The next game is all about helplines. Just this week I bought a CD of the electric organ version of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, but it didn't work, so I rang the helpline, and guess what? They played me a quarter of an hour of it for only £1.50 a minute. Really, what a fine service that was. So the teams are going to recreate the helpline experience for us now. So Tim and David, you are dissatisfied customers demanding your money back. Barry and Graham, you're manning the phones at a mobile phone company, and your job is to explain why Tim and David are not entitled to a refund. So off you go.
Hello? Is very important to us. Please hold.
Oh.
Mobile warehouse?
Oh, yeah, we're ringing up about our phone.
Hello?
It's this mobile phone we bought from you. We keep getting cut off.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Are you
still
there?
Yes, yeah. Yes, we're here.
We're not happy with our phone. Did you gather that?
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, the ringtone we're not happy with. We can't change it, and at the moment it's a pistol shot.
But that will ensure, a quiet environment when you're making a phone call. A pistol shot will do it.
After the screaming dies down.
You have yourself to yourself. That's what people crave.
Yes, and you don't get many missed calls.
No.
It's also wiped all our addresses and contacts.
Ah, well, yes. That's our fresh start offer. Yeah. You relive your life
and make new friends.
Indeed.
Yes.
Also, the predictive text on it is obscene. always comes out as various slang terms for genitals.
Well, it's predictive, so you're bound to say it one day. Quite possibly in a few moments' time.
You got cut off, I think, there. Let's try that the other way around. This time, Barry and Graham, you're the dissatisfied customers. Tim and David, you're manning the helpline of a health spa. And again, your job is to explain to Barry and Graham that they're not entitled to a refund and why. So off you go.
Hello?
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 Hello, have you put the coin in?
Yes.
Hello? Look, my back's gone out.
Well, we're phoning about the fitness club that you run, and we're very disappointed.
Why?
My back's gone out.
Yeah. We're worse after a visit there.
Yeah.
No, you just feel worse.
Yeah.
You're actually a lot better. You're on the road through agony to happiness.
I think we were happier before we came to your club, and we were not entirely impressed by the apparatus that you had on display there for the use by your clients.
Exactly.
No.
Which ones have you got in mind?
Stationary bicycle.
Yes.
Exercise bike. I think, they work better if you secure them to the floor. I was halfway down the shops before
That's
I realised.
Right. Sorry, you're disappointed with that. We'll see what we can do about it.
And at least you can put a bell on it.
Exactly. And my back's gone out.
Yeah, his back's gone out, yeah.
Well, I think it's good that your back's getting out and about more.
Yeah. I find your replies very glib.
Yeah, well, like the staff. We found the staff very rude.
Indeed. What was his name? Kevin?
Kevin, yeah. Ooh, yeah, he was the worst. Ooh. Bring that bike back, he said.
Yeah. What's that about? There's nobody here called Kevin that works here.
Oh, yes, that's a denial. That's the company line, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you'll find Kevin does work there.
He was in charge of the plunge pool.
And what was wrong with the plunge pool?
Well, a bit of water would have helped.
Exactly.
No, we can't. I'm sorry.
Sorry, we'd love to.
But there's all the drownings. We had to...
It's just health and safety, basically. We can't...
But I hurt me head.
Did you drown?
No, but I put my back out.
He put his back out.
And the parallel bars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both closed.
I mean, it was Kevin who said to me, do you want to try some push-ups? I said, yes. He brought a tray of suppositories.
Not enjoy that?
I didn't, and he put his back out.
Exactly.
It's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to squeeze in a special round for gardeners. We should remind listeners who are tidying their gardens at this time of year that burning piles of damp leaves can cause a lot of annoyance to neighbours. Another good one is to park across their drive. So before we go, we'll have a round of Gardeners Film Club, where I invite the teams to suggest titles of films likely to be popular with an audience of gardening enthusiasts. So, David, you can start us off.
A Strimmer Runs Through It.
Barry.
The Night My Cucumber Came Up.
Tim.
The Compost Man Always Rings Twice.
Graham.
The Taking of Pelargonium 123.
Carrots of Fire with music by Van Trellis.
Mary Goldfinger produced by Cubby Broccoli.
Humphrey Bogart is Sam Spade in The Maltese Lawnmower.
Crouching Tiger Lily, Hidden Snapdragon.
The Lion, the Witch and the Lawnmower.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Creeper?
The Lawnmowers of Navarone.
The Manchurian Candy Tuft.
The Lawnmower Has Landed.
There was that Oscar-winning film, wasn't there? The Weeder. Oh, thanks very much.
Harry Potting Shed and the Lawnmower of Secrets.
Full Petal Jacket.
Bring Me the Hedge of Alfredo Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the celebrity chef of time gets his finger stuck in the pasta maker of destiny, and the pasta maker threatens she'll take legal action, it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and the good people of Chichester, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Pryor, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and David Mitchell were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.